Reading is taken from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses the servant of the Lord gave you. The Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God has given them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Well, good evening, everyone. I guess most of us, if not all of us, read this through when we were kids, and maybe some of you saw this, you I don't know. Remember Eeyore? He's Eeyore. Eeyore's the gloomy, depressed donkey in the Winnie the Pooh stories. He always sees the black side of everything. There's his philosophy of life. I never get my hopes up so that I never get let down. That's Eeyore's philosophy of life. And I meet Christians and I think they think about their relationship with God, something like that. I think they're not too sure that God is necessarily going to answer their prayers, and they're not all that convinced that God really does always keep all his promises, so they keep their expectations low, so that they're not going to be disappointed. Could that be you? I mean, honestly, a bit. Are you cautious about what you pray in case God doesn't deliver, and then you feel let down, disillusioned about God? William Carey, here he is, he was a pioneer missionary in India in the 19th century. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. But I think many of us are more inclined to a more cynical viewpoint than that. Here's a modern day beatitude I found. Blessed are they who expect little, for they shall not be disappointed. I never get my hopes up, so I never get let down. If that's us, if we're spiritual Eeyores, then we need to hear what God has to say to us in the book of Joshua. If you lost the place in your Bible, it's page 216 in the church Bibles. And look what God says to Joshua in verse 6 of chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. But let's back up for a minute. Who is this Joshua? What do we know about Joshua? 40 years before this point in Israel's history, God had parted the Red Sea and brought his people out of slavery in Egypt, and that was the Exodus. And God had given his law to his people at Mount Sinai, and in less than a year, the people were at the border of the Promised Land in Kadesh Barnea. Less than a year, they were there. And the Israelites sent out spies into the Promised Land to see what it was like. And the spies came back and they said, it's hopeless. They're too strong, the people there, it's too dangerous, we can't conquer them. And only two people amongst these spies said we should do it, we should go ahead. One of them was a man called Caleb, and the other one was our hero Joshua here. And God was angry with the people, and he condemned them to wander in the desert for 38 more years. Years, I don't know if you can see that. Maybe you can't see it very clearly, but they went away down to the south to Mount Sinai, and then they came up to Kadesh Barnea near the borders of the Promised Land, and then they went round and round in circles for all these 38 years before they finally came back to the border of the Promised Land. And all the generation who came out of Egypt, all of them had died off in the desert except Caleb and Joshua, whose book we're looking at here. And now at last, the people arrive back at the border of the Promised Land, at the Jordan River, which marks the boundary, and they camp in the plains of Moab, and that's where they are as this book of Joshua opens. They've wandered for 40 years under God's wrath. They've come back to the border. They're looking across the River Jordan to the Promised Land. And all through these years of wandering in the desert, Joshua has never been far from the side of Moses. When God's people are attacked by the Amalekites in the desert, it's Joshua that Moses chooses to fight against them. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 17. Before the tabernacle is constructed in the desert, Moses meets with God in the tent of meeting. Who's there with him as his young assistant? It's Joshua. You can read about that in Exodus 33. When Moses sends out the spies, as I just said, to the Promised Land, Joshua is there with them. And when God tells Moses that he won't be going into the Promised Land, that he's going to die without going there, this is what God says to Moses. But you, Moses, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you see. So Moses dies in the desert within sight of the Promised Land, and it's Joshua who's God's man to lead the people across the Jordan to possess the Promised Land. So Joshua starts off after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Now we need to remember, as we set out in Joshua, we need to remember that God's people have spent 40 years in the desert because of their disobedience and their lack of faith. 40 years. Pretty much a whole generation died off in the desert. So it's not too surprising, is it, that they need some reassurance that God's purposes for them still stand. In spite of everything that's happened, they still belong to God, and they're still going to inherit the promised land. And God speaks to Joshua, and here's the promise. Here's solid ground to stand on. Look at verse 5, end of verse 5. God says to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now what a great promise that is, isn't it, for God to make? What a great promise. This is the very best sort of promise. This is a promise that's based on God's own character. God had revealed himself to Moses. He'd revealed himself to Moses in these words. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Moses knew something about God's character, what God is like. And now here's Joshua, and God speaks to Joshua, and he says, as I was with Moses, verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Well, what about us? What about you if you're a Christian? How much do you know of God's character? Well, so much more than Moses did. So much more than Joshua did. Here's what we read in John chapter 14. Jesus says to Philip in the upper room, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Here's how the book of Hebrews opens. Hebrews 1 chapter 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So listen, if you know Jesus, you know God. If you know Jesus, you know God. If you know Jesus, you know more about God than Joshua did. You know that God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Moses didn't know that. Joshua didn't know that. But we know it. What a promise. If you believe in Jesus, not just believe that Jesus exists, but trust in him, put your faith in him, if that's you, then you're on the high road to heaven. Well, here are the Israelites, and they're looking across the Jordan River, and they're getting a glimpse in the distance, they can make it out, of the promised land, of their inheritance. And that's what we should be doing if we're Christians. We should be waiting for heaven. We should be hoping for heaven. We should be anticipating heaven. Here's what the writer to the Hebrews wrote. Here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. But that's not always terribly easy, is it? Sometimes I think we're like these Israelites. God has called us. God has saved us. God has made us wonderful promises. And what have we done? Well, we've been disobedient. And we've been rebellious. And we've let God down in various ways, just like these Israelites did. Is that you? Certainly me, some of the time. We've been caught up in some sin that's gone on and on, maybe not for 40 years, but it's gone on and on. We've distanced ourselves from God by some disobedience in some way, some area or other, and then we begin to wonder if God really wants anything to do with us any longer. Well, here's the great reassurance for you this evening, if you're one of God's people. God's character doesn't change as a result of what you do or I do. God is 100% faithful. You can always believe God's promises. So there's the first thing from Joshua 1. Believe God's promises. You can always believe God's promises. If God says, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then that's it. Isn't it? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. If you truly belong to Jesus, then he's never going to forsake you. Even when you disobey, even when you go wandering off into the desert, Jesus is absolutely, totally, 100% unshakably faithful. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, let me ask you this evening. When did you last fail to keep a promise? Just think, when did you last fail to keep a promise? And why was that? Maybe you weren't able to keep it. Maybe you forgot to keep it. Maybe you really didn't want to keep it. Well, God is not like us. God always keeps his promises. Always. Well, coming back to Joshua 1, that the death of Moses must have been a real blow for the Israelites. For 40 years, Moses had been their leader, their deliverer, their saviour, their hero. What on earth were they going to do without Moses? Well, here's what God said, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you, Joshua, and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. There's God's promise to Joshua. If you go to Westminster Abbey, you can see there a little monument to John Wesley. And on it is inscribed these words, God buries his workmen, but carries on his work. God buries his workmen, but carries on his work. That's what God is saying to Joshua. Moses is dead, and Joshua, you pick up where Moses left off. So, verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. All the Hittite country. When we read Hittite there, it means all the pagan nations who were then living in the promised land. And we can jump forward and see how it all panned out. Put a finger in Joshua 1 and turn forward with me to Joshua 21. Joshua 21. And we'll just have a little sneak preview about God's promises. Joshua 21 verse 43. So, the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. The Lord gave them rest in every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. God is faithful. God's promises can be trusted. But, how daunting for these Israelites. There they find themselves facing these heavily defended nations living in the promised land, looking across the Jordan thinking, how are we going to do it? How did they feel? Out of their depth, I think. How did Joshua feel, catapulted into this position of leadership? Daunted, I'm sure. How do we feel as Christians in a country where Christianity is steadily becoming less and less acceptable in our society, where we're starting to see opposition developing? How do we feel? Maybe that's the wrong question. It's dangerous to be governed by our feelings. We're not saved by our feelings, are we? We're saved by the word of God. We're saved by what God has done. We're saved by the fact Jesus sent his son, that Jesus came as God's son to die on the cross for our sins. Our salvation is more secure than how we feel. So let me say to you this evening, don't look at how you feel. That's unreliable. You're just like me. You get moody. You have ups and downs. You have good days and bad days. Don't look at how you feel. Look at God's promises. Believe God's promises. That's what Joshua did. He faced these seven hostile tribes across the Jordan, and he looked to God and he listened to God's promises, and that's what the rest of the book of Joshua is about. J.C. Ryle wrote many years ago, "You must learn to believe that promises are better than possessions, things unseen better than things seen, things in heaven out of sight better than things in earth before your eyes, the praise of the invisible God better than the praise of visible man." Look again at verse 4. "Your territory," says God, "your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, to the great sea in the west." So from the Lebanon in the north to the desert in Egypt in the south, and from the river Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean in the west. And if you study the Old Testament, you'll quickly recognize that Israel never did occupy just all of that territory, because this points us forward to something much greater than that. God promised Joshua the land of Canaan, but God promises us, his New Testament people, the new heaven and the new earth. God promises us the whole creation. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Everything. If you're a Christian this evening, do you realize how secure you are? God told Joshua in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." And Jesus tells us, here's John chapter 5, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Do you realize how secure you are? God has committed to bring us safely to heaven. Believe God's promises. God told Joshua in verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." And Jesus tells us, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See how Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God's appointed man to bring his people, to deliver his people, and bring them safely into the promised land. Joshua points us forward to Jesus. All the Old Testament promises find their fulfillment in Jesus. Everything finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Here's a verse from 2 Corinthians. "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." So let me ask you this evening, are you trusting in Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? Are you a Christian here this evening? You cannot, someone has said, you cannot receive any blessing from God without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot receive the Lord Jesus Christ without receiving all of God's blessings. So is that you tonight? Believe God's promises. All of God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. Well, the promised land wasn't just won by the Israelite armies. It was given to them by God. Verse 3, God says to Joshua, "I will give you every place where you set your foot." God is sovereignly giving them the land. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal, but they still have to go in and take it. So believe God's promises, that means secondly, step out in obedience. And these two things go together. Believe God's promises, step out in obedience. Verse 7. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. All the law. That's the first five books of the Bible God is talking about there. The Old Testament law. Joshua and the people, they are not being asked to do something new as they enter the promised land, just to get on with obeying God's word. Verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, do you see that? God says, talk about it. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Think about it. Meditate on it day and night. Obey it. Be careful to do everything it says. Talk about it, think about it, obey it. It's exactly the same for us. Talk about the Bible, think about the Bible, obey the Bible. There's no place for sitting back in the life of faith. No place for saying, well, God has promised to make me like Jesus and get me to heaven, so I don't need to do a thing about it. I can just coast. Now, the New Testament is full of what we are to do as God's people. You just have to read Paul's letters, don't you? Live like this, not like this. Put on this, take off that. Make every effort. And we just need to be clear, that doesn't mean doing stuff in order to be saved. We're saved because Jesus died on the cross for us. Nothing to do with what we do. It means doing stuff because we've been saved. It means working, serving because Jesus is our Lord and we want to serve him. We're totally incapable of serving God when we're still his enemies in rebellion and sin. But once we're saved, then we're to step out in obedience. Here's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. See the balance there? Believe God's promises and then act accordingly. God's promises should motivate us to step out in obedience. God's promises, listen, God's promises are designed not as sedatives, but as stimulants. We're to act on them. We're to step out in obedience. God's promises are not sedatives so we sit back and do nothing. They're stimulants for us to go out in obedience. And that takes guts. In a world that's basically hostile to the gospel. That's why God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua and the Israelites are about to enter a land where nobody knows God and nobody acknowledges God. And we're already living in a country in the UK where most people don't know God and don't acknowledge God. And it's not a picnic. Be strong and very courageous. The life of faith is not going to be easy, and it's not going to be comfortable. It's going to take guts. Now look carefully at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Literally it says you singular, you, Joshua, you are the one who will cause this people to inherit the land. You're the one, Joshua. Isn't that striking? Everything hangs on Joshua. And again, it points us to Jesus, doesn't it? He is the one who will cause us to inherit heaven. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Everything hangs on Jesus. Do you look for salvation but you're trying to avoid Jesus? If you're trying to find God for yourself, you're doomed to failure. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Joshua is God's appointed Saviour for those people in that time and in that place. Jesus is God's perfect Saviour for everyone who'll turn to him, and every century and every time and every place. All points forward to Jesus. Well, after God speaks to Joshua, what does Joshua do? Does Joshua believe God's promises? What do you think? Think he believes them? I think we know he believes them, don't we? How do we know? Well, look at verse 10. Verse 10 we read there, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Joshua steps out in obedience. That's how we know he believes what God says. We only believe as much of the Bible, as much of God's word, as we put into practice. That's true. We only believe as much of the Bible as we're prepared to put into practice. Well, verses 12 through to verse 18 of chapter 1 of Joshua are an example of obeying God's word, of stepping out in obedience. The Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh had got permission from Moses to settle east of the River Jordan, in an area where Joshua and the Israelites were now waiting, poised to enter the Promised Land. And I think you could sort of understand if they'd felt, well, we'll just stay put here. We're fine here. The others can go and take the land. We don't have to do anything about it. That's fine. But Joshua says, verse 14, you are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. You're in this together. Everyone is involved in taking the land. There's no passengers amongst God's people, Joshua is saying. Step out in obedience. And the same is true for God's New Testament people, for Christians and churches. We all serve the Lord Jesus together as one. We're all to be available to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. Look how they answered Joshua. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. What a model for the life of faith. For these people back then, for us as Christians now, to be available to God, to be available for Jesus, whatever that may turn out to mean. Whether that means working at a desk job or going into full-time Christian service, so-called. Whether it means living in the UK or being a missionary in Outer Mongolia. Whether it means being single or being married. Whether it means working overseas or staying in Brum for the rest of your life. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Can you say that? Honestly, can you say that to God? That would be a good verse to print out and hang on your wall or put as a marker in your Bible. Whatever You have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. When you pray and say, Lord Jesus, that's what you're saying. Christianity isn't an intellectual thing. Christianity is intensely practical and life-changing. Christianity isn't a philosophy. Christianity is a whole new life. So believe God's promises and step out in obedience. Don't be an Eeyore Christian. Be strong and very courageous. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you that just as the Israelites had a deliverer, a leader who brought them into the promised land, so we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Saviour, the ultimate deliverer, who brings us into the new heaven and the new earth. Father, help us to believe your promises, to read your word, to take it to heart, to put it into practice, and to step out in obedience, calling Jesus Lord. Amen.